Paul Tonko, let's talk a little bit about the Supreme Court of the United States. I can't stay away from this. I just think this is one of those places where the Republicans are doing themselves in.
Well, you may be on the right wavelength there, because everything I've heard from polling of Republicans, independents, and Democrats is that majorities in those categories think this nomination or this post needs to be filled. And, you know, the president, through a lot of review, came up with the nomination of Merrick Garland. And to most accounts, he's a very moderate in his performance to date. And I think the public is saying this is the highest court in the land. You need to have a full complement of justices, and let's move forward. And to have the sort of recalcitrance shown that that the Senate, through Majority Leader McConnell, that is expressed is seriously missing the mark, I believe.
Well, I see it as akin to a two-year-old going into a rage, stamping their feet on the floor, and not being taken out for quiet time and saying, we will not change the structure of government to the point where we don't have that 5-4 majority on the Supreme Court.
Well, you know, a two-year-old, that might be an insult to a two-year-old.
Send him to
here.
Quiet time.
That might be a time out. But you might have just insulted all the two-year-olds out there, because this is bad.
Including
bad
my
behavior.
Great-grandson, Noah, Uh-oh. Who we love. Not great-grandson. My grandson, who is great.
Yeah, there is a difference there, isn't there? Yeah, you know, it's there are so many issues before the court. You know, you have, for one example, I would toss out there the Clean Power Plan. Right. They are going to be in that court suggesting that the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, overstepped its bounds. It went beyond the perimeters of the parameters of the Clean Air Act. The EPA, of course, suggests they didn't. I believe they haven't. But, you know, no congressional action. And so
what has the lower court had to say about that, that sent it to him? Because, you know, now, instead of having that extra vote,
right,
the Republicans have to go with the previous court decision. And often that means things stay the way they are.
Yeah. And see, there again, there's another bit of dysfunction that's self-induced. It's not treating the highest court of the land or the judicial branch with the appropriate respect that the people deserve.
And it's unconstitutional.
Absolutely. And, you know, I love this argument that says, well, the people should decide. Well, the people did decide. They had an election, a presidential election, that they responded to. And if I recall correctly, the president drew 62% of the electoral vote.
And got to be the
president. And he was elected for how many years?
4 years.
I'll say that again.
4 years, yeah. Not 3 years.
Well, yeah. So why would we say three-quarters of your presidency is what we agreed to? I mean, this defies logic, and the people just are spot on when they say we should fill the post and go back to the business of heavy issues that are brought before the Supreme Court.
Paul Tonko, I know that you are a guy who really has done extraordinary work on the way in which this world is dissipating. I don't know what the right word is. We have enormous problems, and we find that, you know, it's going faster and faster and faster. The ice caps are melting faster and faster and faster. The oceans are coming up, and we're not doing what we should be about this.
Right. Well, you know, there is an effort by many of us. I mean, it was great to see the world community come together in Paris to talk about carbon emission and the impacts. We've hosted forums in D.C. I myself had a forum with international reps, including Netherlands and the European Union, and they were all talking about the degree of urgency.
Well, urgency. The fact of the matter is, what we have here is we really got to move. If we're not moving, we're done.
Well, as we hosted some of the European Union members in our office in Washington, the very first question they posed to me was, where is the giant? Meaning, where is the United States in this? And so we need to lead by example. And when the president calls upon Congress, when Democrats in the House call upon the House to take action on carbon emission, global warming, climate change, It's for a reason. It's for us to make certain that, A, we save the planet, B, we provide for prevention. Otherwise, the coastal erosion, I mean, we're documenting that. It's real. You know, the weather patterns have caused tremendous damage. Talk to any community that was impacted by Superstorm Sandy.
Sure.
You know, talk about the damage done in the 20th Congressional District with Irene and Lee.
Sure.
Where we're still recovering from that situation. Communities were washed out.
Or talk to the Shartok family, who had a house, 6 houses from the ocean, and is now 3 houses from the ocean. 3 of them are floating in the Atlantic somewhere.
Right. Right. I witnessed with the Irene and Lee impact, roads, entire roads that were damaged. Every house was severely damaged. Many were totally washed away by a creek, Schoharie Creek, which rightfully deserves to be called a river, a ravaging
sure.
river because of the damage it brought to bear on many of these homeowners. And those that had to be, could be repaired, it's a costly thing.
I keep thinking of the well-known scientist Jor-El, who sent baby Superman on a baby rocket to the Earth. That's how he got him, you know, knowing that that world, Krypton, was going to blow up.
Yeah.
And here we are, well, same thing.
Well, you know, even the businesses now are calculating that there is a problem here. There is a problem here because we see what happens when they have to close down.
Sure.
Hospitals that were threatened, right, in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Power situations, utilities that had to be re-engineered, redesigned, reformatted, rebuilt. We saw what worked. We saw what didn't. Valuable farmland, precious farmland, washed away. So all sectors of business, from agriculture to manufacturing to healthcare, all of this service sector have been impacted. And again, if we don't solve this problem, we're handing it to generations unborn.
You bet.
And
my grandson's grandson. Exactly
that, yeah,
right.
That's pretty cruel. That I mean, you we know what we have to do. We have the documentation there. When 97% of the scientist community says you have a phenomenon here,
but
and
Paul,
we're rejecting it.
But, Paul, here's the problem. Al Gore, him I don't like, parenthesis, but he certainly was right about this, won a Nobel Prize for it, and we haven't gotten off the damn dime.
Yeah, and I would have thought crises would have brought us to our senses, but we've had those, too.
Sure.
You know, there's got to be a Sputnik moment out there that gets us to realize that we're dragging our feet. I will say this. I sense from a number of my colleagues who had been in denial,
including
had been climate deniers, yes,
yeah, okay,
that they're now backpedaling because I think the public is more and more running this. They exactly. They have been impacted, and they're advising. And so I think the backpedaling is going on, and you kind of graciously try
well,
to
they better hurry
undo
up.
The message. Yeah, absolutely.
Paul Tonko, we love having you with us. You are terrific. And it's always great. And congratulations on all the work you're doing.
Well, it's my pleasure. I think there's so much thoughtful dialogue that we need to have as a congressional community that it's always fun to be in the middle of that, trying to facilitate that dialogue.